I ask you this, is God in control? Is God in control of your life? Is God in control of this world? But then, if God is in control, then, but I am facing difficulties, you might say. I am facing some illness, I don't know what it is. I am facing a cancer, I am facing my relations leaving me, disowning me. I'm facing this trouble at work, I'm facing this trouble at home. My family, loved ones are caught up in a war. There are troubles on every side. I'm experiencing these things. I don't like it. Or I'm being accused. I've faced people who are evil people, hateful people. There's nothing good that they can say. There are people who have misunderstood me. There are people who have spoken very unkindly. There are people who are constantly murmuring, constantly complaining. There are people who don't see anything good coming out in this situation. There are people who are rejecting God within my own family. Those are some of the things you might be saying. Is God in control? Is He really good? Is there any answer? Is there any hope? Well, there are answers here in this passage of the Word of God. What should we say? Israel, dear friends, had a long way to go before they would qualify as a godly nation. So far that we have studied this wonderful book of Exodus, so far every trial, every test that God gave them, and that whatever they experienced, only brought out, it seems, the worst in them. And here, Exodus 17, it records two additional things, two additional, we could say, provisions by God for His people. There is water, in verses 1 through to 7, and then there is victory over the enemies. But in the midst of it, these people are really unbelieving people. They're not trusting in the Lord. The Lord was demonstrating to the nation of Israel that He's capable not only of nourishing and protecting His people. These situations present us, dear friends, with this narrative, this third narrative, we could say, of the Lord's provision for Israel's need in the desert. And sadly, a third grumbling episode, or more than the third grumbling episode. Since their departure from Egypt, the Hebrew children have faced several trials, and they're real trials. We can understand it. They faced a sea that blocked their way, but it was parted. God made a way for them. They faced bitter waters, but God purified the waters. They faced hunger, and the Lord brought bread from heaven for their hunger. In these passages, we see that God has enrolled His people into a school, and this school is full of trials. So they go from this class to that class, and they keep having tests. They keep having exams right at the beginning, not at the end. They do the test. And God says to them, you can't answer any of these things. You failed the test. And says, here is the lesson then. So the lesson comes before the test. Or after the test, I should say. And the Lord is knocking off the rough edges in their lives. And so far, they are not making very good grades, these Jews. Do you make good grades in your life? They're not learning, it seems, their lessons. Are we? God's people are faced again with another assignment, another trial, another problem. And what we find, as we would say, they're running on empty. They are not really doing very much. And here in this passage, there are a number of things that I want us to see by way of both explanation and also lessons that we must take. And I hope by God's grace you would take it on board. And you would apply these things to your own lives. First of all, what we find is that God leads even when we are tested. God leads even when we are tested. Here are people who are being tested, but God has been leading them. You've seen this before. For the context, keep in mind that these people had departed from the area in which manna and quails are first given to them. That is the wilderness of sin. And they are finding now another problem. And dear friends, what you find here with this problem, then they begin to blame people. They blame Moses for it. They blame God for it. Dear friends, you never solve your problems by blaming other people. Israel's real problem was unbelief and the desire to go back to the old life. That's what really was at the heart of the matter. Every difficulty that you and I meet is an opportunity for testing yourself and trusting your Lord, for going forward and going, or you might be going backward. That's the test. Am I going forward? And I'm just going to go back where I used to be. And the rock here that was smitten, here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. He says, this rock was Christ that followed them. And what is this saying? That this water that came from this rock is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people. These people have come to a place called Rephidim. Rephidim is actually a verbal noun. It is a word which is plural. It means a place of restings. That's what it means. They've come to a place that's supposed to be a place of not just place, but places of resting. And yet they don't find rest. What they find is no water. They're thirsty. And friends, now this is nothing new. They have thirsted before in chapter 15. They have thirsted before and God had met their needs. But like people today, they forget God's mercy. After all, if they were in the place of God's leading, you would have thought that it was God's responsibility. If He's been leading me this far, then He will take care of me as well. And you would have thought, this is how they would have thought. And so they criticized Moses. They murmured against God. And it's a sin that the Lord warns us about, this murmuring. We've seen this before. Moses says that you're actually tempting the Lord. You're testing the Lord by their attitude, by this kind of murmuring. Because they were saying that God did not care and He would not help them. And so they were in one sense testing God's patience by their repeated complaints. So you read these words. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. It says, and all the congregation, they were journeying. And it says, from the wilderness of Sin. And it says, after their journeys. This is giving you the picture that it's going stage by stage. They did not just pack up and make one major trip to Mount Sinai. No. They moved and then they camped and then they moved and then they camped. They went from place to place. And in these stages, Israel had something to guide them. They had the pillar of cloud by day to lead them through the day and the pillar of fire by night to give them light and to lead them so that they could travel day by day. And they would move whenever the pillars moved. And that's, we said before, that that was the manifestation of God's, we could say, Shekinah glory. You see, God had freed them from slavery and now was guiding them to the inheritance that He had prepared for Israel. And dear friends, the same pattern God uses in our lives. And so just as He did for Israel, God still guides our starts and our stops. You're not just going through week after week. You're going from one place in your life to another place. You're camping. And so the Peter tells us about this tabernacle of ours is going to be brought down. Some of you are hearing the noises of all the various things are rattling. And soon this tabernacle is going to be brought down. But this tabernacle, it means that you're on the move. You're moving through this world. You're making an impact wherever you go. You're experiencing things in your life. But all this starts and stops. Who is doing that? Who is leading you? Is it you? Is it the devil? Is it the world? Or is it God? If you're yielding to the Spirit of God, following the Scriptures, my friends, you can have this assurance that it's the Lord. It's the Word of God that is a light unto my path. So now, as believers in Christ, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit as well. The Apostle speaks about it in Romans chapter 8, that you are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, who are these people? They are the sons of God. And so we sing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. That's what we say. That's what we believe. And that's what the Lord was doing for them. It is the same God. It's the same Jehovah. And what happens here, it says, what's interesting, it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, and then it says, according to the commandment of the Lord. In chapter 15, we are told it was actually Moses who led them. But here it says, the Lord led them by His commandment. They went by the commandment of God. And so they were carried, they were led to the place of bitterness of Marah. They were there, that was no accident. And here it says that it was by the commandment of God, not by the command of Moses. Not simply because he was leading them. No, no. It was the Lord who was leading them. It was His word that was commanding them. It wasn't after a vote of leaders, but based on the wisdom of Jehovah. That's all. Literally, it reads, at the mouth of Jehovah. And the text doesn't tell us exactly how this command was manifest. Was it an audible voice, or was it the leading of the pillar by day and the fire by night? But either way, the Israelites were clearly directed here by the Lord. God led them to this place, or the places of rest. And He knew all along what was going to happen. So it is with our lives as well. Well, my friends, why do you worry? Why is it that your heart is filled with all kinds of doubts and questions and concerns, and all of these things fills your heart, and then it robs you of the rest and peace that you ought to have. It robs you, and you think at the end of it, but I didn't seek the Lord. I had all this time, and I worried about things. The Lord brings us into places of rest. And yes, there are trials there too. Some of the places that God brings us in our journey are difficult. even a place that is supposed to be a rest. Sometimes it is you go on a holiday and you think after coming back home you need more holiday. It's not been an easy thing. Israel was truly following the leading of God and they faced these things. It wasn't the devil's fault. It wasn't the wicked man's fault. It was of the Lord's doing. And that's a great comfort, dear friends. So your spouse has become ill of cancer. A loved one is dying. Some awful thing has happened. What should you do in that situation? Should you then say, I've had enough. I will blame God for these things. No. Say, I don't understand it. The Lord has led us thus far. He's going to lead me. He's going to carry us. He will provide somehow. I don't know how. But somehow. So, and something else that while the Israelites, not all of them, were converted, were saved, we could say, here we find an important principle in their lives. And it is something that we all could imitate, we all could copy, we could say. So maybe you're not a Christian here tonight. Maybe some of you children, some of the adults. You're not Christians. What should you do in situations like this in your life? You face situations where you find you've faced a dead end. There is thirst in your soul. There is no water. There seems to be no hope. What should you do in that situation? Should you follow these Israelites? Should you begin to complain and say, God doesn't hear, God doesn't answer? Maybe that is how you've been feeling. There's no water test, we could say. God has brought you that to that point. You see, for them, God was designing, and remember, Israelites were not all converted. Most of them here were not converted. The adults will die in the wilderness because of their unbelief and rejection of the Lord. But what the Lord is doing with them and what the Lord is doing with you, if you are not a Christian even, God is weaning you from your earthly dependence. God is teaching you. You can trust Him. But sadly, their response was one of murmuring and of questioning of the faithfulness of God. Don't follow that. Learn from that. So that is one thing we see. Secondly, again, let me emphasize this test, a no water test. At Marah, there was at least water for God to sweeten, for God to purify that water and sweeten it. At least there was water. But now the people see no water anywhere. And again, remember that they are in the will of God, in the sense that they journeyed where He led. But it says here very clearly, and there was no water for the people to drink. If you have authorized versions, you see that word "there was," that's put in italics. And so literally it reads, and no water for the people of God. So that's where they are. One can be in the center of God's will and still be in the center of a trial, very hard trial. There was no water for the people to drink. And we don't want to underestimate their situation, dear friends. This is a serious, serious trial to be in a desert. And you have no water. That's a serious thing. It's a dangerous thing. It's a matter of life and death. At Marah, the waters were bitter. They couldn't drink it. And there, they learned that they must trust the healing power of the Lord. Here at Rephidim, there was no water at all. And they must learn something else. They must not just trust in the healing power of God, but they must trust now in the provision of God, the provision of the Lord for their needs. And so this was not an accident, as if God had made a mistake in leading them by the pillar of cloud and and the pillar of fire. But aren't we all just like Israel many times? God is clearly leading us step by step. We know that we've sought to follow the Lord. We've sincerely sought to do things right in His sight, and we've been praying. We've been depending upon the Lord. I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be putting myself first. And yet, you face troubles. Well, here is God purposefully and providentially directing Israel into a difficult and trying situation. And why was He doing this? One reason was that they would come to understand His power and His provision in times of need and stress. And that's exactly why the Lord gives you these lessons. And He wants to test you. And you and I fail the test so many times. And then He teaches you. He takes you through. And then you get another test again. But this is a real thing. This is not a story. This actually happened. John Trapp, the Puritan, he said, "Thirst is the more eager appetite. So they are more eager and earnest for water than they were for bread." Friends, if we fail the lessons of our trials, the Lord is going to still lead us. If you're a child of God, He wants to teach you. He's not trying to simply make your life a misery. But He's teaching you. He's helping you to see the character of God. And to see how vain this world is. How sinful this world is. And how weak and sinful you are as well. He wants to purge you of those things that are hindering your walk. So you can think to yourself, well, if you've got a problem with a person, with a people, the Lord is wanting to teach you lessons in patience. Are you patient? I have difficulty with patience. You have some difficult situation, and you see individuals who are not seeing your needs and your problems, or whatever else it may be. It's people issues. The Lord is saying, I want you to be more patient. You need to learn the issue of forgiveness. Someone has been very rude to you. Someone has made your life a great misery, and they have said things, awful things to you and about you. And the Lord is saying to you, you must love the unlovely. You must overcome anger and bitterness. You have some issues with finances and money. And the Lord is teaching you lessons in faith, lessons in trust, lessons in dependence upon God. Lessons that you can still give your two mites to the work of God. You may have nothing, but you have a little. And you have that responsibility still to seek to give it for God's service. And to say, everything I have is the Lord's, however little and however large it may be. It's God's testing. If you have issues with your health, and your health is deteriorating, you have pains, you have all kinds of things, the Lord is giving you lessons in prayer. It is showing you that He is the only healer. He is the only one who you can lean upon, even unto death. He will be there for you. If you feel yourself, you fail all the time in this and that. And the Lord is helping you to overcome what? Overcome pride, maybe. He is developing in you humility. Again, patience. He's showing you the importance of organization, the importance of hard work. These are the things that He's teaching you. Why did God directly lead Israel to another place of no water? So it is the same. For the same reason, He brings us into the places of need. So that we may call upon Him. Oh, that if they only had called upon the Lord. They made the life of Moses a misery so that he called upon God. That's the way Moses responded. But oh, that if they had called upon God, it would have been so different. The psalmist says in Psalm 50 and verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I'm going to deliver you and then you see and you will then glorify me. Then they say in verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? So the people are chiding. That means quarreling with Moses. They say, give us water to drink. Give us water. That's what we need. And Moses is saying, why are you chiding with me? Why are you quarreling with me? Why are you fighting with me? Why are you testing God? Why are you testing Jehovah? You see, Moses wasn't following his own orders, his own thoughts. It was the Lord. It was God's commands that he was teaching and guiding these people to. And so these people contend with God. That's the third thing we want to learn. People contend with God. The chiding with Moses is chiding with God. Chiding means contending. It means fighting against. And contending, it means to strive in opposition against another. To strive in controversy. That's what the dictionary says. To argue earnestly. To dispute with. Those are the meanings of contending or chiding. And friends, in fairness to Israel, this was a real problem and they were justified, we could say, with their concern. So they could bring the matter. But they could bring it to the Lord in prayer, in request. They could have laid the matter. It was the real thing. They had no water. That was a real issue. So they could have brought it to God instead of contending, fighting against the Lord. The question is for you and me, what do we do with our concern? Do we turn it into contention with the Lord? Or do we cry out to God? And so it says, wherefore, or therefore. That's the term of conclusion. Always ask what is being concluded. And in this case, it's straightforward. The problem of no water is concluded, so to speak. In the people beginning to quarrel with their leader. Israel doesn't like where God has led her because she can't see any physical drinking water. So Israel doesn't like it. She had completely forgotten about the word of God and the work of God and what God had done before. She has forgotten God's previous power and provision and protection. And when you and I forget God's goodness in the past, you yourself are set up for grumbling and complaining and stumbling in the future. It's good to begin each day with an attitude of, we could say, gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving, praising God, worshiping God, giving thanks to God, even for the things that will happen to you through that day. So it is good to begin the day rejoicing in the Lord. Whatever happens, the Lord reigneth. I will rejoice in Him. How great is our God, dear friends. Israel forgets God, and therefore, when the test comes, Israel grumbles against Moses and quarrels with Moses, and ultimately they are testing in contempt against God. So the test itself is neutral. This test is neutral. It is ordained by God to refine the hearts of His people. But every test comes like a double-edged sword. One side cuts to heal, the other side cuts to hurt. And so every test can become a temptation to evil if our hearts is not right with the Lord, or it becomes an opportunity to trust the Lord in it. And clearly the nation of Israel had failed the first water test at Marah, the bitter waters of Marah. So God gives them another test. Here is another opportunity. Here is a place where you can prove my faithfulness and my provision. Here is a place that you can say to me, we are trusting thee, Lord. But they quarreled, they complained, they did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. They say, give, they're commanding. It's put in imperative. They're commanding as it were their commander. How can it be? And so here is the Israelites' reaction. It's a fruit of their rank unbelief. Their failure to trust in Jehovah and his man Moses. And the wording here in the original is that over and over, the Israelites angrily railed against Moses. They kept on. They said this and they said that and they're murmuring. You see, it's 2-3 million of these people and they're complaining. There's a great hubbub. And then they're ready, Moses says, to stone me. That's what they're doing. They're working themselves up in a frenzy, like a riotous mob, ready to throw stones. They'd already been through this, and they saw God wonderfully supplying their need, and you would have thought that they have learned these things. And yet they haven't. They've seen so many wonderful things that God did for them, and yet they forget. And we can criticize them as much as we want, but you just have to examine your life and see how easily we forget the Lord's goodness and blessing. Someone has said that every difficulty God permits us to encounter will become either a test that can make us better or a temptation that can make us worse. Are you getting better or are you getting worse through those temptations, through those trials? What was the response here? I don't know, I'm not dealing with all the other verses here. But what was the response? Here is the people's response. Here are these people who are facing a real issue. There is no water. And they're saying that we are all dying. Well, that was an exaggeration. You see, in a situation where we are tested, sometimes it is that we are not thinking straight. And you need to pray to God, Lord, help me with my reasoning. Help me with my thinking. Am I thinking all right? Am I thinking according to thy word? Is our mind being directed by the word of God, or are we being affected by the world around us and what people say to us and this is what you ought to be doing and that kind of a thing? Or is it God has directed me in this way? God has shown me these things in the past. So I'm going to think in a biblical way. I'm not going to give in to these temptations. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And so the response of these people was one of murmuring and complaining and blaming Moses. But look at this man of God, Moses. You think, you put yourself in his shoes. What was his response? His response could have been one of complaint. I've had enough of these people. Lord, send fire down and consume them all. That's what he could have said. Look at what they are doing. They're ready to stone me. But it says this. He cried out. He cried out on their behalf. They should have cried out to the Lord. He cries out. What's your response? I think if we can take this home with us, if we forget everything else and we take this home with us, it would sweeten our lives this week. You have things coming to you, challenges, and the daily grind. It is a daily grind. Day in, day out. Similar kind of things, similar pressures, similar challenges. What do you do? Are you putting on the whole armor of God? Are you putting on giving yourself to all prayer? And saying, my response would be like Moses. My response would be, I will cry out to God. It is painful, I am under such pressure. I don't know what the response of the Lord will be about this, because this situation is like as if I'm going to be stoned to death. I might not manage to get through this, but whatever happens, even if I don't make it, I will be found in a place where I am praising God and I'm crying out to God. I'm depending on the Lord. That's where I want to finish. I always think about that pastor in that little chapel in Watershed, who was found on his knees. He had a heart attack while he was praying for his congregation. What a way to go. And people would have thought, well, this is, look at what God did to him. Isn't it awful? He's praying and God gives him a heart attack. And yet it was of God's doing. He was experiencing heaven on earth while praying and communing with God. As it were, you're on the phone with someone and that person says, I don't want to talk to you anymore on the phone. I want you to come to my home. We will talk face to face. And that's how it was. People may judge that. People may complain. What a thing. For you to take that journey to go and see this person face to face. And this is God's doing. He says, I will bring you home. And that's where he was found. My friends, if you want to take this home with you, you have things happening to you, all kinds of things, evil people, wicked people, and unlovely people, people who are saying all manner of things against you. Your situation is awful. It is hurting you. You're shedding tears. All of these things are real things. And if you just begin to speak about your personal life, children too as well, and it breaks people's hearts. And so all of us here, you have something. Something that is breaking your heart. And the reason is because you are living in the same boat as everybody else. You're living in this boat which is in the midst of war. And sin abounds everywhere. And there is darkness and there is torments and all of these things in this world that you're living in. And yet you have this light in your hands, the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit filling you in your heart. You have the Lord Jesus Christ who says that He will be with you always. And as we will come later on and see next week, God willing, of this rock being smitten, which is Jesus Christ. You have all of these things for you. What should we do? May our response be Moses-like. Because his response is Christ-like. While Christ was suffering upon the cross, what do we find him saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, dear friends, let us have the mind of Christ then, because Moses had the mind of Christ. And may the Lord then write these things upon our hearts, that we might glorify him. Let us pray. Our Father and our God,